T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened, the good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from San Francisco. The Brewers do not sweep. They fall 5-1 to the San Francisco Giants. And calling it 414-799-1250. It's Dan Plucker filling in on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. No Tim Allen today, a well-deserved day off. As the Brewers lose in devastating fashion, and in a fashion that any pure baseball fan is going to be infuriated at. We have gone too far down a lane with this instant replay stuff. In what world, from at least any angle that we saw on that pickoff of Chris Bryant at second base for Devin Williams in the bottom of the eighth inning, what angle did we see, were we given, where you can overturn that call? From every single aspect of every angle that I saw, either an umpire was in the way or it was too close to call, which means you go with what's on the field. And on the field, Luke Maley threw out Chris Bryant and the inning should have been over. It's that simple. And the game changes basis 100% after that. A walk, an RBI double, and then a 3-run homer, and your Brewers are sent home with a 5-1 loss. That is a pure example of why baseball and all other sports, we've seen it a couple of times in other sports as well, but baseball specifically has gone down a line that is too far with instant replay. 414-799-1250. Again, Dan Plucker filling in as your Milwaukee Brewers lose the final game of the 4-game road trip in San Francisco. Win 3-4. We're happy about that. We're excited that they won the series, but it could have been a sweep. And it possibly should have been a sweep, or at least a better attempt at a sweep, had we not gone down this train too far. How many times do we see these nitpicky calls change when a guy slides into second base and, oh, his knee just popped up off the base and now he's out, but he was in time. He was way ahead of the throw. How many times have we seen calls like today where you don't know from any angle that any fan was given on the MLB YouTube broadcast, we saw nothing that call should be overturned. Nothing. And now we're sitting here, and the Brewers lose a game, and a big game, if they're going to be pushing for that number one spot in the NL. Because that's against the exact competitor, one of the two competitors that you have for that top spot. And now we're sitting here, and we're one game further back from the top spot in the National League. The MLB has gone too far down this road. Too far. I'm getting very frustrated with it. Because when there are plays that bang bang, and it takes you 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, however long it was, to actually make a decision on the call, and then you call him out, if it takes you that long, there's no clear-cut evidence for an overturn, which means that the call on the field should stand. The call on the field was that Chris Bryant was out at second base. And this game is a whole lot different if that is the case. So for me sitting here watching this game, waiting to do this show, that's the first thing that I have to bring up. Because how many times in the world of baseball do we see nitpicky calls like that change big games like today was? It changed the course of this game. And to me, it's unacceptable. If it takes you more than 30 seconds, a minute I'll give you in some situations to overturn a call, then it's not conclusive. You don't have conclusive evidence to overturn it. And then on that call, based on what we were given as fans, there's no justification why that call was overturned. And me, Dan Plucker, sitting in for Tim Allen today, I'm pretty riled up about it. It's changing baseball. It's changing sports in general. I mean, watch the NBA and see it barely graze off of somebody's fingertip where they're literally watching the rotations of a basketball as it heads out of bounds to overturn a call. Like, when we get that intricate into things, does it not ruin the game? Where you're sitting there for 4-5 minutes waiting for something to maybe change and that could alter the course of the entire game. Devin Williams, up to that point, looked fine, other than the four-pitch walk he had to Chris Bryant. So you can come at me and go, oh, well, he shouldn't have had a four-pitch walk to Chris Bryant, and then that would have never happened. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But after that four-pitch walk, you're now Devin Williams is now on that mound thinking about the guys that are next for the 4 minutes or however long that was, because it was a long replay where he's not able to get warm, he's not facing live action, and he gives up the four runs that he did to lose this game. To me, I'm getting sick and tired of it. I understand that sometimes the human error happens and you have to overturn a call. That happens. I get it. We've seen it. If it's like something that changes the course of the game and it's clear-cut, obvious that the call was wrong, fix it. But when it takes you 4 minutes to decide whether or not it happened, to decide whether or not the call should be overturned, in my eyes, that's not clear-cut. That's not clear-cut evidence. And that call changed the game. It's the turning point of the game today. It was the turning point, because up until that point, it was a great game. 1-1, two pitchers absolutely dueling in Logan Webb and Eric Lauer, and a computer ruins a perfect baseball game. That was a great game to watch. It flew by. It was a lot of action, lots of strikeouts for both sides, and we get that clunker of an ending. To me, that's frustrating. 414-799-1250. It's Dan Plucker hanging out with you in the place for Tim Allen today. Let's go right out to the phone lines, because I know there are going to be some fans out there that agree with me, some fans that want to chime in on this, and we'll go right out to Vincent in Anaheim. He's now on the baseball postgame show. Vincent, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, man, as you know, Tim knows, I'm a Giants fan. So I told Tim we had to get one game from y'all at least. You guys gobbled them all up, man. Y'all destroyed us, man. Look, about the rule, I'm a fair guy. I look at it both ways. If it benefits my team, good. If it doesn't, that's the rule. I know what you're saying, though. It's kind of annoying when you're taking 5 minutes, you know, keep analyzing and analyzing and analyzing it, because then in your mind you can trick yourself and say, maybe he was safe. Maybe he wasn't out. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying, but I like it clear cut, because sometimes if you go, I know sometimes it kind of kills baseball. It kills any sports then sometimes, because then, you know, those legends won't come to fruition if they had instant replay back in, you know, ask the Raiders that against the Steelers and that mm-hmm. that, you know, immaculate catch, man. That wasn't no catch, man.
For sure.
But, you know, on the Raider butt. So I kind of agree with you, but I just want to see clear cut. And
right.
I don't care. It benefited my team, so I was happy. But even if it doesn't benefit my team, I'm a Brewer guy too. I like the Brewers. I'm gonna say go Brew Crew from now on until you meet my Giants again. But it, you know, as long as it's fair. But like you said, as long as it's doesn't take that long. But I understand they want to get the call right. But if you can't see it, if a normal fan who's watching it every day on an instant replay big screen can't tell the difference, you sometimes can let it go. But then people will get mad and say, no, I want the right call. That's why we got these computers in.
Right.
But, you know, it did kill the game a little bit, but hey, not for me.
Vincent, appreciate the call, dude. Yeah, and he's right. When it goes for your team, you rejoice about it. But when it's that bang-bang, I don't really care what side you're on. When it's that bang-bang, it's that close, it should be the call on the field. It takes you that long to overturn the call with it being that close. And I saw zero angles across the spectrum where I was like, oh yeah, he's 100% safe. And I get it. You want the right call. You want the clear-cut right call. But when it's not there, when you don't have the angle of it, then how can you overturn it? They must have had something in their replay center that we didn't see. Because from all eyes of what I saw, there was not clear, exclusive evidence that he was safe. That Chris Bryant was safe sliding into second base in that eighth inning. I saw nothing. And it cost the Brewers a game, and it cost them a game against arguably the best team in baseball. And the Brewers are right there as well as the Dodgers. And when you're clawing for that top spot, every game matters. And especially games where you face one of those other top dogs. And today, it cost the Brewers a replay. A computer cost the Brewers a game. And that, to me, is frustrating. Because, again, nothing that I saw proved that he was safe. 414-799-1250. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show driven by Great Lakes Dragway. And more of your calls, Christian in Uptown. You're now on the show. What's going on, Christian?
Not much, Dan. I think you might be framing this incorrectly because we know as Brewers fans that I can count on two fingers the amount of times I've seen one of these replays go our way. Usually if the minutiae goes the other way, we could see indisputable evidence that our guy was safe at the plate or at second base, and it still won't be overturned. And so my expectation has always been that they are defending their umps. They're not going to call. They're not going to overturn anything. But then this happens, and I'm like, now I'm starting to think that maybe it's not a computer-based thing. It's a human thing. We're adding other eyes that have other interests for baseball. And if all things are equal and they're like not sure, maybe New York is saying, you know, we really need the Giants to win one of these games. So, you know, what would it hurt if this goes their way? You know, let's keep this going. I mean, I think it provides the more humans, like I test software, the more humans you have involved in testing stuff, the more you find the mistakes. But I think the more error you put into things. And I think this just makes it for more collusion possibilities. Or at least in a Brewers fan's mind, because like we don't see it go our way. Have you seen any go our way?
Christian, I totally get you. Thanks for the call. And he's right. Maybe there are it, but what I'm saying from a replay perspective is that cameras cost the game. Maybe not a computer. He's right. It's more eyes seeing it. Somebody watching this film somewhere is telling the umpire in his ear that Chris Bryant was safe on that slide. So for me, it's a computer's fault because the guy on the field closest to it called him out, and some guy thousands of miles away, probably, wherever the MLB's replay headquarters are. I think they're in New York. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, Sam Schmitz, who's still here from Rami's show, gave me a thumbs up. So yes, they're in New York. So some guy in New York made that decision compared to a dude that was standing right next to the guy at second base. Right next to him, blocking one of the camera angles. Some guy in New York made that call. To me, that's frustrating. Especially when it's that close, that bang-bang takes you that long to make a final decision on it. How can you overturn that call? And in doing so, costs the Brewers not just a monumental sweep of the San Francisco Giants, who were the top dog in the NL Central, or in the NL, I should say, before this series, it cost them that game. That extra hope of being the number one team in the National League. Because the Brewers are right there and in that conversation. That's why I'm so ticked off. That's why this is so frustrating. Because the Brewers are in the conversation and are one step closer to being at the top if they win today. But some guy over 1,000, 2,000 miles away on the opposite side of the country decides otherwise. 414-799-1250. Let's go out to Ken in West Bend. Ken, you are now on the postgame show. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, you're going on today, Dan, taking over for Tim. On Sunday, I told Tim, I said, I predicted a sweep. And Tim was like, what? I said, I predict a sweep. The Brewer team is much better than what people think. And when San Francisco was here the last time, the Brewers very easily could have swept them. They made a couple of mistakes. And once again, it's not that they made mistakes in this game, but three of our big-name guys still are not hitting when we have runners in scoring position, and that's what's concerning me more so than overturned calls and things mm-hmm. of this nature. The idea that we have to rely on replay is just ridiculous. You take replay out by hitting the damn ball, and today we didn't put enough runs up, and we had ourselves in a position where potentially we could have won. Yes, that was that overturn was huge. But I need to see three guys start producing in key situations, and that's Yelich, and that's Garcia, and that's Urias. If you're going to be in the everyday lineup, we're coming down to the end of the season here. If we're going to be a World Series team, you got to start hitting with runners in scoring position. You got to put the ball on the grass. That eliminates all this nonsense with going to New York and having some lame brain sitting there in somebody's ear about saying, yep, let's let them win one. That argument disappears quickly. So it's time that the team and council, when he came running out, that was a foul ball. I realize he was probably frustrated after the call that they lost at second mm-hmm. base on the steal, but the fact of the matter is that was foul. So as fans and as show hosts and everything else, people, we need to take a step back and look at a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is that this team is going to be in the playoffs. And they have a chance to go to the World Series. They got to clean up a few things. They have to clean up. I would have liked to have seen Lauer go one more inning.
That's a good point as well, Ken. And we'll get to more of the intricacies of this game as the show continues. Ken, really appreciate the call. Good insight as always. And I know we talk about Christian Yelich and his struggles throughout the season. And Avi Garcia, I mean, in his last 8 days, he struck out 10 times and is hitting like 150. So he's not playing very well right now, just in general, and it's a bad time for Avi Garcia to kind of get into a little bit of a slump here. Meanwhile, Christian Yelich, he's had his ups and downs throughout the season, but right now he's still playing pretty well. Last couple of games, maybe not as well, but over the last couple of weeks, I've been really encouraged by what I've been seeing from Christian Yelich. Again, we'll get into more of that later on in the show, but right now, those things do get a little overshadowed to me, because what we saw, as you were saying, Eric Lauer, a great performance, Ken was saying, a great performance from Eric Lauer. Would have liked to see another inning from him. Yeah, maybe me too. But the thing is, when you have two pitchers that are on their game, which is what happened today between Eric Lauer and Webb for the Giants, then sometimes the offense doesn't act up on either side. And that's what it was today. It was a pitching duel between two pitchers that were lights out. Eric Lauer, probably his best start of the season so far to date. And Webb, his highest strikeout total of the season, 10 Ks, ties a career high for him. So the two of them were duking it out all game long, which makes every single pitch, every single at bat so important. And that four-pitch walk to Chris Bryant, which puts him on base, and again, every single play is important. And when one happens, like that steal of second base late in the game, when you have Devin Williams on the mound, the best setup man in the National League, and honestly, the guy that just won reliever of the year, or reliever of the month, I should say, for the month of August as a Milwaukee Brewer, Devin Williams was frazzled after that. You could tell. After the aftermath of that, after a four-pitch walk, the stolen base being called back, he didn't have his stuff anymore. He didn't. His fastball was all over the place. He wasn't spotting his changeup well, and that's why he gave up all of the runs that he did. So I get your point. One thing doesn't make a game, but in this situation, I feel like it did. I feel like it did. And it cost the Brewers a win, a chance at a sweep of the Giants, and what would have been a monumental, I think, turn for the team. Now pushing for that top spot in the National League. One more call here before we hit a quick break. Let's go to Matt on the West Side. Matt, you're on the postgame show with Dan Plucker. What's going on today, Matt?
Hey, Dan. Just as upset as everybody else is about that replay, but before we start all this conspiracy theory stuff, we should really realize that the reason why we have replay is because everybody said, oh, you know, the East Coast teams or the West Coast teams, they're getting these breaks and, you know, they're getting all this stuff, and we got to have replay to verifiably prove that something happened or didn't happen. And so that's how we ended up with it in the first place. So let's just nip this conspiracy theory stuff in the bud.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory, Matt. What I'm saying is, I don't think it should take 4 minutes to make a call. I don't think should take as long as it did today to make a call. If it takes that long, I'm a fan of replay. I am. But if it takes that long for a decision to be made, it's not conclusive evidence, and it should be the call on the field.
Yep. And what they should do is have a clock. And if they can't make a decision that provides irrefutable evidence in a minute or a minute and a half at most, then the call on the field stands, and that's the way it is. I mean, if you think about it, if this play happened 30 years ago without replay and Chris Bryant gets called out, he jumps up and he runs back to the dugout and the inning's over and you go on and you play the top of the ninth. And that's why replay, it's ruining the game. It's you know, they've done all these things to shorten games, but the main thing that's lengthening games is all of these replay reviews. And if they would just cut those out, then they wouldn't have to do all this silly stuff of, you know, saying that, you know, you have to have a pitcher face three batters or, you know, ridiculous rules that have been made up to shorten the game, whereas the game was fine in length until the replay came along.
Right. Matt, appreciate the call. And you hit it right on the nose, and that's where I was going to go if you didn't, Matt. And that is, with all of the things that baseball is doing to shorten games, for replay to potentially be the longest portion of a game, or what seems like the longest portion of the game, how many people tuned out during that long replay of that throw out of Chris Bryant and what should have been the end of the eighth inning? How many people tuned out? How many people were not paying attention during those couple of minutes? That's what my question is. You don't want long innings, then why make a long inning? You have a freaking pitch clock at this point that you're encouraging pitchers to get a throw within a certain amount of time, yet you let replays run rampant and last as long as the one did today that changed the course of this ball game. That is the frustration in all of this. And replay has something to figure out. And Major League Baseball, sports in general, has something to figure out about replays, because we are getting so intricate in some of these things where a human eye is not able to tell the difference with certain things. And so you are literally taking the umpire completely out of the equation, or the ref completely out of the equation, who saw it closest in some of these circumstances. And today that was the perfect example, because any angle that we saw in this game was not good enough to overturn that call at second base for me. And that's where I'm going to leave this conversation, because when we come back here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, we will be recapping this ball game and kind of going through the course of it, because we talked about it. Webb pitched a gem for the Giants. Eric Lauer, his best start of the year, probably. We'll get into all of that coming up next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway. It's Dan Plucker hanging out in the spot for Tim Allen today.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen, as your Milwaukee Brewers drop game four of the series 5-1 against the San Francisco Giants in San Francisco. 414-799-1250 to join us here, as the play of the game is what I just went off for the last segment about, with that call being overturned as Chris Bryant should have been out at second base. Again, no angle that I saw showed me that he was safe. And maybe some guy in New York has a better angle on it than I do, but based on what we were given on that YouTube broadcast, there was no way that you can make that decision. And for as long as it took them I'm pretty sure they were conversating about it for quite some time, which means they weren't exactly confident in the decision. And when for a call to be overturned, they say you need conclusive video evidence. We were not given that. So how is that call made? That's what I'm asking. I'm a fan of instant replay. I am. For the most part, it's like, I would say 95% good for sports because some egregious calls get overturned. And all that stuff is great. But the 5% of the time where the call is close or they get it wrong and it changes the course of the game because, like today, somehow he saw a hand of Chris Bryant get onto second base before the tag from Willie Adames. Somehow somebody saw that, apparently, because based on the rules, that's what we were told. That's what we've been given. And that's not what I saw today. 414-799-1250. Mike in Greenfield, we'll go to you first. You're on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show. What's going on, Mike?
I guess my call is to reiterate what you're saying, except for the fact that I guess because counsel ended up, you know, you guys want coaches to get have their guys back.
Mm-hmm.
And this loss this way, I just feel like things will be, they'll be easier to get by this one. They may be more ticked off at the way it happened. And you know what? I don't know if it's making sense, but council mm-hmm. gets ejected for immediately, you know.
Yeah, stepping out of the dugout after that Willie Adames home run, council gets immediately ejected. You're right, Mike.
Right, so... I just, it's a shame, though, that every, you know, that's what replay is for. But every time replay is called in, it's got to be definitive proof that, you know, the call should be overturned. And as
right.
you stated, it...
We didn't get that today, Mike. I totally get you. Thanks for the call. We didn't get that evidence that he was safe. I did not see any evidence. And yes, was it a close call? Yes. Was it a difficult call? Absolutely. It's a bang, bang play. But if it's not immediate, if you don't go, yep, he's safe, or yep, he's out, immediately, then it's the call on the field. And the call on the field was out. And had that been true, the course of this game is different because that inning is over and there's nobody on base. We're headed to the top of the ninth, 1-1, and the Brewers have a shot at winning this thing in the ninth inning. Or taking this thing to extras the inning after if they don't score. And this whole game is completely different. Let's go out to Richard in Greenfield. Richard, you're now on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show with Dan Plucker. What's going on, Richard?
How are you doing, Dan?
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to say, like you, I am in favor of instant replay. But what happened there when 4 minutes elapsed, that totally changed the focus and the psychological state of Williams. One moment, he's
absolutely
relieved. He's out of the inning, and now he has to reset himself after 4 minutes, losing rhythm. That's ridiculous. If they can't decide within a minute, they should let the cause stand. And sometimes it might hurt the Brewers in the future, but I'd rather have it done in a quick manner rather than wait 4 minutes. And that just changes the whole psychological state of the ball player.
Absolutely. No doubt, Richard. Yep, thanks for the call. It's no different than a rain delay. It isn't. It's no different than a rain delay and how that impacts a pitcher. I understand that that's a longer period of time, but for a reliever like Devin Williams, who often does not go more than one inning, I'm pretty sure I can count on my hand how many times Devin Williams has gone in more than one inning in his career. I don't even know if it's ever happened. I remember where I was like, oh yeah, Devin Williams went two innings in this situation. I don't remember that happening at all. So a guy that usually does not see any gap in his pitching, in his mentality, he thinks 1, 2, 3, I'm in, I'm out. That's what his mindset is. And yes, he walked Chris Bryant on 4 pitches, but that's not a guy I would want to pitch to either. So maybe he's thinking he's pitching around to Chris Bryant to get to Brandon Belt afterward. Maybe that's what he's thinking. But instead, now we're sitting here, and the review happens, and it's a 4-minute period in between his last pitch, which he thought he was out of the inning, to now having to go back to what I believe was a 2-1 count on Brandon Belt, and then winds up walking him. And then we all know what happens next. The Brewers lose the game. I don't fault Devin Williams really at all in this situation. What I fault is the MLB and their review system, because it was flawed today and it's been flawed multiple times and it's becoming a major problem in Major League Baseball. Ryan in Milwaukee, you're up on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, I want to say that when the safe call is, because the players are seeing the field. I mean, if they would have went out the field, they would have caught him out. But they see it on the field, and I think that's why they called him safe.
All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. And I'm not going to go that far. I think that that's just kind of the way that baseball has become, where literally these players don't want to walk off the field because they know they could very quickly have to run all the way back out to their positions. So I think that's more of what it was. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some sort of conspiracy theory there, but that's not the way that I look at things. And now let's get into this game. Let's recap this game, because there was a lot more than that happened than that replay. That was just the biggest spot in this game. And we start with Logan Webb, who had a phenomenal performance. He did so the last time that he faced the Brewers a couple weeks ago when the Giants were here in Milwaukee. He had, let's see, in game one of that series, back when they were in Milwaukee, he pitched 6 innings, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts in the game. And over his last couple starts, he's been absolutely lights out. He has an 8-3 record on the year, 2.65 ERA, 111 Ks since May 11th. So the last couple of months, Webb leads the major leagues with a 1.47 ERA, and he's 7-0 in his last 13 starts. He's been lights out. This is no guy to sniff at. One of the best pitchers in baseball as we sit today, and is a huge part of why the Giants are where they are at. Because we think about how important the Brewers' pitching has been for them, the Giants' starting rotation has been very good as well. And Logan Webb is the perfect example of that. Maybe a guy who's not on a lot of people's radars that will be very soon, very quickly, as we approach the postseason here. And he starts out hot. 1-2-3 in each of his first 3 innings. And just mowing down batters left and right. I mean, he was striking out everybody, hitting spots with his slider. His fastball was pretty good. His sinker was confusing a lot of hitters, as well as his changeup. Really good stuff from him throughout the course of this game. And Eric Lauer, his first pitch, home run, Austin Slater knocks one into the bleachers in left center field. And you're thinking what all of us are thinking. Oh, it's another Eric Lauer start. You know, like, we've seen those Eric Lauer starts where he just doesn't have it from day one. But today was different, because after that, Eric Lauer pitched a great baseball game today. After that first pitch miss that he had right down the heart of the plate that Slater took out of the ballpark, he was hitting everything. I mean, he was painting the corners with his fastball, especially up and away, so well today, and all of the credit should go to him. So we're through 3 innings here. And it is 1-0, and the Brewers are down 1-0 after that homer. So let's go to the bottom of the 3rd inning. Lauer strikes out Webb to start it, and then Slater goes 2-for-2. So the same guy that hit the home run in the first lines one into right field. Chris Bryant hits it to third. It's bobbled by Peterson, and Bryant beats out the throw. So now we're looking at first and second with 2 outs after Belt flew out to center. And a wild pitch makes it 2nd and 3rd with 2 outs. Lauer gets out of it, though. Darren Ruff lines out to Yelich in left field to end the inning. And that was the biggest scare, I think, of the game early on for Eric Lauer. Outside of that, after that 3rd inning, he pitched really well. Webb again comes in the top of the 4th, strikes out Wong. Urias hits a stand-up double. Christian Yelich walks on 4 pitches. And here comes Avi Garcia, a guy that they really need to step up in these situations. And he doesn't. Avi Garcia strikes out swinging, struck out 3 times today. And in the top of the 4th inning, already Webb's 6th strikeout of the game. So he was hot from start to finish, was Logan Webb. But the Brewers do take advantage of the situation as on-base Jace delivers.
The go-ahead run. Just lofts one into shallow center. It's going to drop. And Arias is on his way home. The throw's going to catch Yelich in between 2nd and 3rd. But the Brewers do get a run. Yelich still on the run. Crawford is going to make the tag for the out to end the inning. But the Brewers get their first run of the day. Jace Peterson, a little bloop RBI knock. It scores Urias. One per side now as Logan Webb is shaking his head and saying a few things that might not be safe for YouTube.
And that was a little disappointing to me that Christian Yelich got caught there between second and third. But the Brewers still get a run in. They tie up the game. They do what they need to do against a pitcher that had been pitching very well all day. And what I said yesterday when the Brewers won in San Francisco on Twitter, you can follow me at Dan Plucker. That's Plocher on Twitter. I said the Brewers do what good baseball teams do, and they take advantage of mistakes. And they did so in this situation against a pitcher that's been lights out the last couple of months in Major League Baseball. Again, a 1.47 ERA, leading Major League Baseball since May 11th. So this guy is probably right now what some people would consider one of the best pitchers in baseball. And the Brewers took advantage in this situation and got a rare run off of him. And they do what good teams do. And they scored a run after mistakes by the San Francisco Giants. Then we go back up to the top of the order, and Lauer goes 1-2-3 in the bottom of the fourth inning, top of the fifth. Vogelbach flies out to center. JBJ strikes out. Luke Maley, just called up yesterday, gets a stand-up double. But Eric Lauer strikes out to end the inning. And through five innings, this is how good Webb was today. He had 19 swings and misses from the Brewers in the first five frames. That's a record for a single start for Webb. So that's how good he was pitching. This was like the best Webb has ever pitched, essentially, because he also set his career high. He matched his career high, I should say, in strikeouts with 10. So he had good stuff going all day, but he was the talk of the broadcast. Everybody on that YouTube broadcast was talking up Webb, but nobody was touching on Eric Lauer, who did essentially the exact same thing that Webb did, just with less strikeouts. They both go seven innings. Webb's day ends after the top of the seventh, where he has seven innings pitched, four hits, a walk, one earned run. That earned run, like I said, from that Jace Peterson single that you had just heard. And 10 strikeouts, matching a career high. Then Eric Lauer comes out, and he finishes after seven innings of one run baseball, I should say. Just three hits, and that solo shot in the first inning, the only mark on Eric Lauer's day. So those two pitchers going back and forth the whole game, and Eric Lauer maybe in a spot to be the guy that wins this game as we head to the top of the eighth, but JBJ strikes out for the third time on the day. He and Avi Garcia both struck out three times today. Not good at bats from the two of them against, again, a pitcher who I should say was dominating in Webb. Eric Lauer also dominating on the other side. Luke Maley strikes out. Rowdy Tellez pinch hits for Eric Lauer, and he strikes out as Tyler Rogers, who came in relief, struck out the side. The Brewers looking to keep this one tied at one. Devin Williams in relief. Adames, he comes in for Avi Garcia and plays shortstop. Urias moved to third base, and then Jace Peterson moves out to right field. Just a little bit of a defensive mix-up there in the bottom of the eighth inning. Lamont Wade soared out to left field for out number one. Then Williams struck out Slater on a nasty changeup, and he wasn't really locating his fastball well after that. And that's where I think a lot of the struggles came, because it was a four-pitch walk to Chris Bryant, and this is what we've been talking about all day long, all post-game show long, was the throwout that Luke Maley had. And he had him. He did. I'm convinced that he had Chris Bryant, at least on what the written rules of baseball are. Chris Bryant should have been out at second base. There was no angle given to us on that broadcast. Somebody in New York, 2,000 plus miles away, makes the decision that Chris Bryant is safe, and the game is completely changed. After 3.5, 4, 5 minutes, however long that replay was, Devin Williams standing out on the mound, waiting for his chance to actually throw some pitches again. He also walks Brandon Belt, so now two walks. And like I said earlier, the Brewers did what good teams do and take advantage of mistakes. And the Giants, who are also a really good team, took advantage of mistakes. The walk, the mistake of the call, another walk, and then Darren Ruff lines one down the left field line for a double. The Giants take a 2-1 lead, and that's the first run Devin Williams has given up since June 23rd. We're talking 2 months of this guy not giving up a run. Extremely valuable, and I'm not putting the blame on this on him whatsoever when it comes to today's loss. Then Tyro Estrada comes in, and he's up at the plate, and he just blows the game wide open with a three-run homer, and it's 5-1 Giants, and Devin Williams gets pulled after just 0.2 innings. Hobie Milner comes in, and he gets Crawford to pop out to second to end the inning. Jake McGee, the Giants, comes in to close. Wong singles to center to lead off the inning. You're thinking, maybe the Brewers will make this thing interesting. But then Urias shot one to center. It was a great hit. But Mauricio Dubon, the former Brewer himself playing in center field, made a diving catch that, again, maybe turned this ball game around in some aspects with the first out of the inning rather than maybe a first and third type situation with Christian Yelich at the plate. Instead, it's still Wong at first base. Yelich strikes out on a half swing at a pitch in the dirt. Not a great at bat for him in that situation. Wong stole second base without a contest. And then Willy Adames steps to the plate on his birthday, and this happens.
They're worried about Colton Wong.
It's all on Adames. He was hitting in Garcia's spot. Garcia went 0-for-3 with three strikeouts today. Adames goes to right. We'll see if that one's playable for Slater backing up. And if it's fair, it's gone. It's gone! Happy birthday, Willy Adames. Number 23 on the season. Two-run shot. Ends up in the bay.
Well, there was a home run in that helmet, Billy. You can take some credit for that one.
Well, before I take credit, let's just see what these guys are. Oh, they're looking. Oh, man. He knew it was foul.
Foul ball.
Billy can't wait to take the credit for this one. He cannot wait.
You know they're going to look it over. I mean, we're in the ninth. Originally called a homer. Switched around after the ump conference.
Again. Ridiculous. You see the home run happen. He's trotting around the bases. And then without even looking at the replay, you change the call on the field, which I get, it happens occasionally. But for this to just happen after the Chris Bryant play, the half inning before, it's like, come on, guys. Like, really? Like, and that's why Craig Counsell stepped out of the dugout and he said something and almost immediately gets ejected from the game because of it. They go back, they watch the replay. It's confirmed, I guess, quote unquote, confirmed a foul ball because who knows what they're seeing after calling Chris Bryant safe at second base. But that's how this one ends, essentially, because Adames struck out to end the game. And your Brewers lose 5-1 against the San Francisco Giants. We have to hit a quick break here. We do. I'm sorry, Pete and Appleton. I see you. We'll get to you after this break. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show. We'll continue to be talking about this replay and the Milwaukee Brewers coming up next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen today.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show driven by Great Lakes Dragway. No Tim Allen today. He'll be back tomorrow. It's Dan Plucker filling in the chair for him, talking to you about the Milwaukee Brewers dropping the fourth game of the series to the San Francisco Giants 5-1 after an abysmal call in the bottom of the eighth inning that cost the Brewers the game. And one guy who I know wants to talk about it is Pete and Appleton, who's been waiting on hold for a while. Pete, you're now on the show. What's going on, bud?
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Pete. What you got for me?
Good, good. Well, I'm not as upset about the loss as the way the loss happened, because you know what? In a four-game series, I mean, it's hard to sweep a four-game series, so I kind of expected
Agreed.
A loss today, so I wasn't real upset about it, but I just don't understand replay anymore. It's gotten worse and worse over the years. Things are supposed to get better as you use them more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the more the technology is there, this is utterly ridiculous. When every announcer and everything that I've seen, I didn't get to see the play, but the radio guys are like, there is no definitive way that they could have overturned that call
and there was
had it be right. So that's all I have to base it on. I'll have to see some highlight of it later. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know you say you don't blame Devin Williams for the rest of it. But, I mean, come on, man. You can't be walking guys in that inning either. That's what really hurt him. I know he's been terrific. I get that. You know, when you say he hasn't given up a run in 2 months, well, great. He's only pitching one inning every game. I mean,
but that's still a really hard thing to do, Pete. It's still I want to see you go out there for 2 months and not give up a run.
Well, here's the thing. I can't throw 95 miles an hour.
Very fair.
And I gave up a run, I would be irritated because, you know, these relievers nowadays get praised, but, you know, look, I'm an older guy, and I remember the closers that came in, you know, in the seventh inning and pitched from the seventh inning through the ninth and
sure.
didn't give up runs. So that's you know, to me, a guy that comes in for one inning, and I get it, I'll get ripped about this afterwards, and that's fine. I just don't think you should be giving up runs. I know it's going to happen. I get that. I understand it completely. But it's one inning. You should be able to get through one inning without giving up runs. And the walks are what just drive me nuts when it's a close game and you walk mm-hmm. a batter. Now, I didn't get to see, obviously. I don't know if there were close pitches. So, you know, you get that description on
right.
the radio, and it's hard to tell
right.
sometimes. But, you know, maybe he did get hosed on a couple calls. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's not that they lost, but how they lost. And you know what? If they can't get replay right, get rid of it altogether. If
mm-hmm.
you can't tell in 2 seconds that the call was wrong, then the call should stay the same.
Agreed, Pete. Thanks for the call. And you put it perfectly. I'm not mad that the Brewers lost today. I'm not. If the Brewers would have lost the game 5-1 and it all would have happened pretty early and Eric Lauer would have been out of the game early and it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, then yeah, like, I'm not upset that the Brewers didn't sweep the Giants, but it's the way that it happened. It is the way that everything went down. It was because Eric Lauer had a very un-Eric Lauer type performance where he was lights out on the mound and pitched really well against the San Francisco Giants. And he's been getting better throughout the course of the season. I understand that. But it was maybe his best performance of the season where he went pitch for pitch with maybe the best pitcher in baseball at this point with Webb from the Giants. With a 1.47 ERA since May 11th. He's been maybe the best pitcher in baseball in that span. And the two of them have been going back and forth in this situation. In the whole game, 1-1, the whole game, both sides took advantage of one mistake. And then for just a slew of them to all come at once with Devin Williams, who was named the reliever of the month on the day, like literally moments before he stepped on the mound. That is why this whole thing falls apart for me and why I come on this show and I'm ranting and raving about everything that happened in this game. Otherwise, I'd be talking about, guys, we took 3 out of 4 from the Giants, and we're only a couple games back of the top spot. But every single game as you get down and through the month of September is important. And when it gets tossed to the side because of instant replay, it just irks you the wrong way. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm irked the wrong way right now. I'm pissed off at this and what happened in this game. And I think you should be pissed off too. One guy who I know is pissed off because he got ejected from the game after the Willy Adames home run, not home run, home run, not home run, is Craig Counsell, and here is the skipper after the ball game.
Is that one of his, or maybe his best start for you?
Well, he pitched very well. It was excellent game, and he gave us a chance, gave us length, which we needed today. So Eric did all he could do.
Craig, have you got a chance to look at the replay of the stolen base, whether it was reversing it was the right call or not?
Well, we don't get a vote. So, I mean, obviously they saw an angle that they thought merited to reverse it. There wasn't one on the scoreboard in the stadium, but if I'm sure they probably had more angles than that. They must have to reverse it.
Craig, that was also a particularly long review. Do you think that impacts Williams in that situation?
I don't know.
Craig, Devin had had such a long, long stretch of excellence, no runs and like 22 outings too. So it was a tough way for it then, wasn't it, with a couple of walks and a stolen base overturn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just baseball. An inning happens. A guy hit a pitch, you know, that he got out over the plate and had a good at bat against him, and it's just baseball.
What did you think of what you saw from their guy Webb today? It looked like he had some pretty good movement.
Yeah, he's having a really good season, and he was tough on us in Milwaukee. I mean, he's a good pitcher. He's a sinker guy, you know, or a running fast, really good running fastball, and kept us on the ground most of the day.
Craig, what did they say to you about reversing the home run by Adames?
Yeah, I mean, look, in the end, I think they got the home run. I think they got that call right. You know, when a guy that's, you know, 75 feet away from the call, like, gets the call reversed, it's just a little suspicious. So that was my argument, but they got it right.
Craig, obviously you want to win every game, but you came in here, took three, played some really good baseball. You must be happy with the overall series that you played.
Yeah, I mean, we just, you know, this is a tough team, and this is a dangerous, certainly, team to play in their ballpark. They're the best team in baseball. They got the best record in baseball, I believe, or close to it. So it's a successful series for sure. I mean, I think 3 out of 4 is a good result. And on to the next one.
Craig, back to Lauer for a minute. He's pitched well for you for quite a stretch now. Where do you feel like he fits into the story of your starting pitching success, in the way he's helped you get other guys that the rest you like?
I mean, everybody on the pitching staff is connected. They all, you know, are doing work for each other in a way. And, you know, Eric's emergence this year and his health this year has been an important part of the story. He's, you know, he's up over 90 innings now. You know, he's going to finish 110 or so innings, whatever. And that's, you know, valuable and quality innings. So he's been somebody we've been able to count on and to help us win ball games.
Craig, putting Anderson on the IL today, is the thinking he's going to miss a lot of time, or did you just need a fresh arm in? How does that look right
now? I don't think a lot of time is what I'd characterize it. I think he's going to be slow to start throwing again here over the next couple days. And we're fairly certain that his start would have had to been moved back. Once, you know, in that, in combination with making sure we recovered today in case something happened, and led to the move.
Craig, did anything happen to Garcia in that game?
Hamstring and back were tight, so precautionary, take him out of the game.
That's a little bit of a big deal there. Hopefully it is just precautionary, as he's saying. Avi Garcia, a huge part of this team, and with Tyrone Taylor on the IL, I mean, JBJ is maybe becoming a regular day starter if Avi Garcia is hurt. That I had not heard yet. That is some big news there from Craig Counsell. Hopefully it is just a little bit of tightness, like he was saying, and it's not anything more serious, because if it's something more serious, we're looking at a whole new Brewers lineup down the stretch here. Like I said, it would make sense, though. I said it earlier, Avi Garcia, over his last 8 days, has struck out 10 times. So it's not like there, and comparatively from the rest of the season, where we had John Heyman on the big show a couple weeks ago, where he said he had Avi Garcia on his shortlist for the NL MVP. And now we're sitting with Avi Garcia hitting like 150 over his last 8 games and striking out 10 times. That's a pretty big switch. That's a pretty big change. And I understand slumps happen, but a long season, throughout the course of the season, maybe something's happened here. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that there's nothing we have to worry about there, because that's a big bat in this Brewers lineup if he does go up missing. One more thing I wanted to play here for you, and it's really short. Craig Counsell said he didn't know how that 4-minute, 5-minute replay affected Devin Williams? Well, let's hear from the man himself, who talked very briefly after the game about everything that happened. Here's Devin Williams.
Devin, what was your view on that stolen base reversal? Did you have any good, decent look at whether they got that right or not?
No, honestly, I didn't know. I couldn't tell from the replay, so I don't know.
Devin, that replay took a really long time. Does that have an impact as you're out there waiting for them to decide on it?
No, I mean, it's whatever. It's my job to stay ready.
Yeah, Devin, you had such a long run without giving up any runs that you've been used a lot. How did you feel out there today?
I felt all right. You know, I didn't have my best command today. So, you know, I was getting behind a lot of hitters, and that's not a good, you know, recipe for success. So,
Devin, do you feel ready, though, for this this home stretch? They monitored everybody, tried to monitor everybody pretty closely to keep you guys in a good place for this final push.
Yeah, I'll be ready. Just need a new jersey, that's all.
All right, anybody else?
Devin, the bullpen's been so great this year. Once you get over today's disappointment, I mean, you must be proud. And you guys covered 7 innings last night after Brett went out. And, you know, you've been doing such a good job prior to today. You must be proud overall the way you guys pitched in this series.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been throwing it well, you know, doing the job. The starters have been killing it. Lauer was really good today. Just sucks I couldn't hold him there for him.
There was Devin Williams after the game. Again, I said very brief, and there was a reason why. Not very happy, obviously. I don't think anybody would be happy when you win the reliever of the month, haven't given up a run in 2 months, and then give up 4 in a 1-inning span after that walk, the steal that should have been an out at second base. And then he was asked, Adam McAlvey, I'm going to give him credit, Adam McAlvey from MLB.com asked, hey, did that impact you? And he goes, nope, it's my job to stay ready. And that immediately tells me it impacted him a little bit. It did. It had to have. And he was pissed off about it too, which is why that press conference was so freaking short. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show driven by Great Lakes Dragway. When we come back, we'll do some forward thinking because there are positive things ahead after what has been maybe a pretty negative postgame show here. 3 out of 4 from the Giants is a good thing, but it's the way they lost today that just irks me, pisses me off. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway. We'll hear from Eric Lauer, the starting pitcher tonight, maybe his best start of the season, coming up in just a minute here. But Wisco Bobby, at Wisco Bobby, tweets, at Dan Plucker, that's me, Dan Plucker, filling in for Tim, and that's at Dan, P-L-O-C-H-E-R, on Twitter. He said, guys, I don't want to be that guy, but every single Brewers loss in the last week has come on a Tim Allen off day. Hashtag jinx. And that very well could be the case. Evan, you have something to say.
I talked to Tim Allen during the game today, and he said that it is 4 straight games that he has been off that they have lost. And he's going to look back tonight and see what his record is on off days. But it's not
that's crazy.
Great for the Brewers.
Well, I was saying, I think this is my 8th postgame show of the year. I think I'm 4-4 in those days. So sitting 500 is certainly not pretty for a team that's now 29 games over 500 are your Milwaukee Brewers. So maybe I need to stop doing postgame shows as much as I am.
At what point do you take it personal?
When it becomes Dark Cloud of Doom, Joe Zenzola style, where devastating things happen every single time that I touch a microphone. For a Brewers postgame show.
There does need to be a new scapegoat now, and I don't want to be
it. I hope it's not me either. It's kind of been Sparky. I think it's kind of shifted to Sparky, which is I'm cool with.
Sure.
Because he'll make predictions, and then the exact opposite will happen, And it's always a joy when that happens, because especially during football season, like during football season last year, we do the fantasy football thing on the big show where we all pick a fantasy football player every week. Whoever Sparky picked, it would be like Patrick Mahomes. He'd have four picks the next day. So like that kind of stuff is happening all the time to Sparky. Let's push that jank star cloud of doom on Sparky and keep those clouds away from me, and have sunshine and rainbows whenever I fill in on post game shows going forward. For whatever team that I may do a post-game show for. Now let's hear from the guy who had a great game today and maybe his best start of his career, potentially, even as a Brewer, and definitely of this season, in Eric Lauer.
Yeah, the home run pitch to start the game looked like it was right at the top of the zone. Was that a pretty good pitch, or is that not where you wanted it?
I mean, I thought it was a pretty good pitch, but, I mean, guy ambushed the pitch that everybody in the stadium knows is coming. So, I mean, it's not really something you get too mad about. It's a ballsy thing to do, is to swing at the first pitch, but he got it.
We were saying in the press box, so that must have been the best recovery ever by a pitcher who gave up a homer on the first pitch. No more runs. The rest of it, you had to be happy for the way you threw after that.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was able to settle in pretty well after that. I mean, kind of take that one right out of the mind pretty quick, because you don't get too upset about the one pitch that they know is coming if they hit it. But other than that, I was really glad with the way I was able to settle in like the third and on. I was really happy with the way I was throwing the ball, just the way I was driving to the plate and how things were coming out.
They were super aggressive too, weren't they, Eric? They were swinging a lot of first pitches.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's an aggressive team. They had a plan going up there, and I was able to keep them off balance about as well as I could. So I thought it was a pretty good day.
Eric, you used the term settle in. Is that kind of the story of this season for you? You're getting to settle into a more of a routine, much more than last year, at least.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the consistency of being in the rotation and knowing what I'm going to throw and being able to go through my process, like between starts, and be able to get ready and prepare for everything. I think it only helps me. So I'm open and willing to do whatever I need to, but obviously I think consistency plays a big role in baseball and a big role in being a pitcher. So it's definitely helped out a lot.
Eric, you've really contributed to the pitching plan too, because they've wanted to use six guys and, you know, rest guys in the season, and you allowed them to do it. You got to have six guys to pitch, and you allowed them to do it. You must be very happy that you've, you know, fit into that plan so well.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really my goal to be a six starter in a rotation, but I mean, when we got the guys we got, you try to fit in wherever you can. And I mean, as long as I'm up here and I'm helping the team win games, I don't really care what I'm doing. But I think the way that I can contribute the best is to throw multiple innings and start games. And I think I'm well on my way to proving that I should be in the rotation for a while now, hopefully.
Having batted against Logan Webb, what can you say about the stuff that he's throwing up there?
He has some really good stuff. His stuff tunnels and tracks very well. That the slider or cutter, whatever it is he throws, that it breaks late, it tracks to the plate really long. He keeps it low in the zone very well, which is tough to see, especially when something's breaking down on you. He definitely, my second at bat, he tricked me for sure, because I had seen so many of those sliders that he just kind of pounded a fastball right at me and challenged me, and I just froze. So I was pretty mad about that. Yeah, I'm pretty pissed.
Eric, was there any talk in the clubhouse or anything about the reversal on the stolen base? I mean, do you think they got that right? Did you guys hear anything about?
No, I haven't heard anything about it. I didn't. I don't think I really looked too far into that one. It was I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it, so I have no information.
I mean, Devin's been so great. You know, he had 22 consecutive scoreless outings going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. It's nothing for him to worry about. I mean, everybody has that kind of day where, I mean, maybe it's them getting lucky. Maybe it's you just kind of didn't throw the ball right where you wanted it to. I mean, it happens. He's going to be fine. He's got nothing to worry about.
Thanks, sir.
I know you want to win every game and you would love to sweep, but what about coming in and taking 3 out of 4? And it looked like the atmosphere in every game was like really tense too.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was definitely like a little bit of a playoff feel. Two really good teams going at it, so obviously you always want to win, and especially against a team that you're kind of right there neck and neck with on the top spot. So it's a good feel. It's a good thing to have that competitiveness and that feel of the game, especially when we're getting close to playoffs.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
Doing some forward thinking here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin baseball postgame show, driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen today. Real quick, though, want to touch on a few things. First of all, I'm a little upset. The MLB tweets out, another Giant win and the NL West is all tied up after they win 1 of 4 against the Brewers and have won 2 of their last 7 games. It's another win for the Giants. Yet when was the last time we saw anything Brewers-related tweeted from the MLB account? I'm going to give them a little bit of flack there. A little bit of other news and notes from the game here. Devin Williams, again, he didn't have a great performance today, but he has won the NL Reliever of the Month for the month of August. So kudos to him for his performances so far in this tenure. And forward thinking tomorrow now, Freddie Peralta making his return. He's starting tomorrow as the Brewers start a 6-game home stretch against the Cardinals, 3 games with the Cardinals, 3 games with the Phillies. That'll ride us into next week. And with this is from Will Salmon, with Peralta set to return Friday, combined, Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff have 538 strikeouts in 417 innings pitched between the three of them. That's more than the entire starting staff for the Orioles and the Tigers. The three of them have outpitched the entire 5-man rotations of the Tigers and Orioles in terms of strikeouts. And I'm sure ERA and all of those wonderful things as well, because that's just how dominant the top of this rotation is. So while I'm mad at replays and pissed off at replays, I'm confident that this Milwaukee Brewers team has better days ahead and even a really good week if we're really putting things into perspective. One loss, not really going to hurt the Brewers in the long term, hopefully, because they have a comfortable lead in the Central still. They're in the conversation for the top of the National League as well. It's just how it happened with that bogus replay overturning the call. It has been Dan Plucker filling in for Tim Allen today. Brewers Cardinals tomorrow night, 7:10 first pitch. Tim Allen back in the chair tomorrow, talking to you about your Brewers, and maybe this jinx will be up because it's been the last four times Tim Allen's been off that the Brewers have lost. So let's maybe reverse course there and get Tim Allen back in this chair, get some more wins for the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, it has been Dan Plucker. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker for Evan Heffelfinger. This has been the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Baseball Postgame Show. And if I don't talk to you again here, guys, I'll talk to you again there. See you soon, Milwaukee.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.